Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Is bike share coming to your neighborhood? Eventually might just be the answer, as the new program in New York City will be phased in starting this summer. So with us now to talk about how it's going to work and with everything you wanted to know about the bike share program but haven't yet learned is Andrea Bernstein, director of our Public Radio Transportation Nation project and senior correspondent for WNYC. Hey, Andrea.
Hey, Brian.
And listeners, our phones are open right from the start here. As you anticipate this bike share program and more bicycles on the streets, certainly in Midtown and perhaps wherever you are, give us a call with your thoughts and with your questions, 212-433-WNYC. Not our pledge line. We won't ask you for money. On the air, 212-433-9692. So do we know the actual inception date?
Not specifically, although the end of July. So very soon.
And do we know how many? Let me go right to the issue that seems to be obsessing people, the cost, right?
The cost is one of the issues that is, you know, sort of really been much chewed over on our Transportation Nation website. We had our most commented post ever on how much the bike share is costing. So for the record, the New York yearly membership will be $95 a year. With that, you get 45 minutes of free riding. And after that, you start to pay for the next half hour. So for the first after 45 minutes, 45 plus 30, 75 minutes, you get you have to pay $2.50, and then for 115 minutes, you have to pay $9, and it goes up from there. I mean, it's pretty severe, the idea being they want it back within 45 minutes.
Right, because this is for commutes in town. This is not share a bike to go riding on the North County Trail in Westchester.
Right, or even necessarily around the Central Park Loop or along the West Side Highway for purely recreational purposes. I mean, what the city is really hoping that it will be used for are things like you might want to go from our studios here on Varick Street over to Union Square, which is very difficult to get to on public transportation. So they're hoping that instead of taking a cab, if you have to get there in a hurry, you'll just hop on a bike. That would probably take about 10 minutes. So that is sort of the hoped for use. Now, you know, in some cities where there's bike share, like Washington, D.C., people want to use it for all kinds of things. Maybe they have a really fancy bike that they don't want to be riding around the city streets. So then people will join bike share. And this was the discussion that people were having. Is 45 minutes enough to get from your house? And probably for the initial rollout for most of the places you'll want to go, it is. But when they expand it to Park Slope, Upper West Side, Upper East Side, the question is can you take your commute within that 45 minutes?
How does that price structure compare to other cities that have bike share?
Well, in most ways you slice it, New York's bike share is the highest in the world that we could find. Now, there's an exception, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, but the $95 yearly membership is higher than most other U.S. cities, which tend to be around $80. Now, some of those cities are not open year-round. Washington is, but Boston is not. And Minneapolis is not, Denver is not. These all close in the winter. So it's hard to exactly compare, but New York is higher than London. It's higher than Paris. The day rate is higher by a few dollars. And the usage fees are higher, particularly when it comes to the daily rate, so what a tourist would get. So the daily rate is $9.95, and then after the first half an hour, you pay $4. So 30 minutes free, the next half hour, 1 hour total, $4, and then it goes up to $13. So that is a very high rate. Now, the city says for annual members, you get 45 minutes free, which is more than a lot of cities, and that's true, so that it's hard to exactly compare apples to apples.
212-433-WNYC with anything you want to know or say about New York's coming bike share program. Matt in Port Washington, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, I just everybody I know who's had a bike in Manhattan or in Brooklyn, you know, theft is a huge problem, and I was just curious, like, what's the member's liability as far as if you stop and lock up the bike so you can run in and get a bottle of water, and then all of a sudden you come out and you have two wheels missing.
That's a good question.
The city doesn't want you to do that, and that's why they have docking stations roughly every three blocks. We have the maps of where they are on our Transportation Nation website. You can go look at them. They're pretty extensive. They really want you, when you are not using the bike, not to lock it up, although you could. They want you to put it in a docking station so you are finished with it. Now, you do have, I think it's $1,000 sort of put on hold on your credit card, if I have that right. And if I don't, I'm sure someone will correct me in an instant on hold on that. But there are procedures for reporting thefts. And what they've said in New York City is that in the U.S. cities and even in most of the foreign cities, they've worked out the kinks on this because they've put GPSs in the bikes. They're distinctive. They're much harder to strip than your sort of average personal bike would be. And in most of the other cities, in fact, all of the other cities with head bike show, theft problems have been a big problem, even places like Mexico City, where you might think otherwise.
Did you say every three blocks?
Every three blocks, yeah. They're really, really close together. And
in what area?
So the bikes for the first phase of the rollout will be in Williamsburg, Greenpoint, downtown Brooklyn, Fort Greene, Clinton Hill, and in Manhattan below 59th Street, also Long Island City. And in some of those areas, it's fascinating. There's no subway service to Greenpoint. Mm. So that could really sort of be, you know, a transit game changer for them because suddenly they can get to the 7, they can get to the G or the L, and, you know, you start getting into really an actual sort of difference in what's a transit desert.
Ben in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, Brian. I'm so glad to hear you talking about this subject. It's near and dear to my heart because I'm a cyclist. And we have, in the biking community in New York, been waiting eagerly for bike share rollout. And it's coming to Bed-Stuy, too. You forgot that, Andrea.
Oh, yes, Bed-Stuy. Forgive me. Yes, it is. But I will say, once again, if you want to go look where it is, where the location is near your house, near your place of work, near the places where you frequent, we do have all of the maps on the Transportation Nation website right there on our homepage.
And did you want to say anything about it, Ben, other than that you're excited about it?
Absolutely. So I'm a member of Transportation Alternatives Brooklyn Committee, and we've been saying this is going to be a huge game changer, not just because more people will be riding the bikes themselves, because it's not just 10,000 people per day. It's probably going to be many times more that amount of available bikes. But if you have, say, 50,000, 100,000 people riding the bikes on the city of New York, even just a small percentage of those are going to realize, hey, why is there a bike lane here but no bike lane there? Why is this street wonderful and this street scary and dangerous? Then we hope they will in turn reach out to their elected officials and continue pressing for improved, safer bicycle infrastructure.
Ben, thank you. And that's a really interesting point, Andrea. If there really are so many more bikes, it is going to change the political landscape and the pressure to make the bike lanes, you know, comfortable and user-friendly and safe with respect to the cars.
I think that is an outcome that the city's hoping on. And if you remember, a couple of years ago, Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan said on this show that one of the things she wanted to do was build bike lanes all the way up the Upper East Side from the Battery or Harlem in advance of bike share. Now, there's a lot of bike lanes going in. Some of the more ambitious bike lane goals have not yet been instituted. I think that there was a sort of point in the city's decision-making on this, okay, like, let's get the bike share program in. We'll work out those other problems. Now, having said that, we're also hearing from a lot of people who are like, what are we going to be having here? All these crazy tourists, and they don't know the streets, and New York's so confusing anyway. So there is a lot of anxiety as well about all these new bikes
coming. And that's really important to reflect. And I think a lot of non-bike riders have some trepidations about this new army of bicycles that presumably is going to start showing up in all these dense areas. So Miriam in Greenwich Village is somebody who I think is going to express some of this. Miriam, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call. My concern is some way of enforcing the bike share users to obey the bike rules, the traffic rules. My mode of transportation is pedestrianism, and especially in my neighborhood, bicycle riders are not very good about following the traffic rules. They don't stop for red lights and stuff like that.
Well, I'm sure that's true of some, but, you know, probably not every single bike rider.
Right. Well, we can say we can say that most bike riders do follow the rules, but it only takes a few. And small percentage. You know, people walk around in fear of the bike riders more than they walk around in fear of the cars, I think, at this point in New York City for many, many people.
That may be true, although, you know, there's hundreds of people that, you know, pedestrians that die at the, you know, because of automobiles. And actually, we're sort of trying to get the number. The NYPD mm-hmm. has just started tracking bike on pedestrian crashes. So we're going to be looking at that. But it is something.
The feeling, though, is that bikes are less predictable.
I would argue that probably in many cases they are, because people are not used to them. And so that goes to the point that you were making about if you have more bikes, are they more predictable? You know, we sort of all have, you know, come to expect cars on the streets, and everybody's kind of going through kind of an adjustment to expect bikes. One of the things that we do know from Washington, where this has been going for over a year now, is that these bikes they're big, they're heavy, and you can't really go that fast on them. So they have tracked in Washington the crashes involving the bike share bikes and actually found them to be violating fewer traffic laws and less, you know, in getting involved in less crashes or fewer crashes than regular bikes, just because they can't move that quickly.
One more call before we run out of time for this segment. Ed in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Brian. Great to talk to you both. One of the things I just think we need to bring into the debate is people need to just reconceptualize how they're going to be utilizing these bikes. I used the system that they have up in Montreal, and you know, people talk about a half hour or 45 minutes not being enough time. You really are only riding the bike for a much shorter period of time. If you're going to use this system to go from, you know, one side of a neighborhood to another to sit in a cafe, you don't need the bike while you're in the cafe. You ride the bike for 15 minutes, you get off it, you dock it, and then you sit in the cafe, and then you get on another one, ride it back, and dock that one. The fact that the stations are so close together, and Brian, you're surprised at every three blocks, really, you know, speaks to this. Mm-hmm. You need to just rethink what you're going to be using the bike for. It works mm-hmm. fantastically well.
We will see.
Yeah, and I think that is sort of really what the city is trying to emphasize, that, you know, if you have a 15 or a 10-minute walk to a transit stop, you would use it for that. If you live on the far west or far east sides, the FDR Drive, that you would use it for that. One of the things that's been a big challenge in the other cities, Washington, London, that they're sort of still, Barcelona, they're still trying to figure out, are one-way commutes. In Barcelona, for example, there's a part of the city that's very hilly, and they found that people would ride their bikes down and then take the bus up. So all the buses would congregate down the hill. In London, it had to do with sort of where the train stations are, and, you know, people sort of going downtown and leaving them there during the day. In Washington, the biggest use of bike share was during the earthquake last year, because the metro was running it, you know, very slowly. The streets were in complete gridlock. And as a result, bikes were much the quickest way to get around. But then once you took your bike out, it was gone. So that is going to be a big challenge in New York, is making sure that all of the bikes are balanced so that when you go to all these stations, you can actually find a bike.
All right. The bike share program coming to New York City in late July. Transportation Nation is on it with its director, Andrea Bernstein. Can people read more about the bike share program at transportationnation.org?
Why, yes, they can, Brian.
I thought so. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
One of the places you might want to ride these shared bikes is to some of New York's tiny museums. And we're going to start a series on this program coming up next that's going to last through next week about New York's tiny museums, that is to say, some of the city's lesser-known gems around town. Stay with us.